Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riding from the inside out. I'm Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer, and with me again, my good friend Debbie Romero, certified Alexander Technique instructor. So today's topic is the posture of extension, and we're going to have to explain a lot what that means because I think, first of all, people rarely think about postures, and we'll do a different podcast talking about the difference between posture and frames, because I think in the horse world, we're always talking about frames
Put them in a frame. Keep them in a frame. Yeah.
rather than a posture, which is it's a global, a posture is sort of a global change through the entire body. Right. So when we, and we can alter posture that has zero to do with our conformation. Zero.
Yeah. I was just talking with a client about that yesterday, that most of us humans, horses, all have the same anatomical structures.
Yes.
All the bones and even the soft tissue pretty much are all the same. It's just how we use it.
How we organize it, how we coordinate it is what posture is. And so often, one of the most limiting beliefs I hear out there in the competition world is, oh, my horse just doesn't have good enough conformation to do my sport. Or it's a conformation issue. That's why my horse went lame. And I go, it's conformation. Is to me the size, the length of the bones. So there's tall horses, short horses, but the coordination of that skeleton in motion is completely changeable no matter the conformation. And that to
Yeah, 'cause
me,
I know you've worked with a lot of gated horses that, you can change if I've seen you change their movement.
absolutely.
Yeah, so I
So
know
many,
that can happen.
so many points that we label as conformation are just in a conformation class. What the judge is looking at is the relationship of the body parts to each other. And I go, but as soon as you alter your posture, you alter that same relationship. So how much is really conformation versus posture? And when I was introduced to the concept of postural changes and training a horse to a better posture, that opened up a whole new world in my mind. It became less limiting, more potential of athletic ability or soundness out of any horse. And sometimes there are conformation issues that may make the training go faster or slower, might be harder or easier depending on conformation, but it's not impossible. It's not, conformation is not this sort of death sentence for, for athletic ability that people make it. It's just a little bit of a challenge to work around.
I think that's a good point that that even with people, it's the same way. Because we, even as humans, we have the same structures. It's the posture and how we use it in our daily life that makes the difference.
Yeah, and what you call your business is optimal posture. So even humans, despite our scoliosis, despite our bad hip, our bad knee, our sore back, our arthritis in this joint and that joint and 10 other joints, despite all of those conformational challenges, you still help people find an optimal posture. So how would, how do you define posture for your business? What is it you're looking for with people?
For me, the big word that comes into mind is ease of movement. That it everything, especially as Americans, we think everything has to be hard. It has to take all this effort, and I've and if you're organized well and you're using your body well, it's there's not that much effort.
Yeah, and posture is also not a static end result.
Oh,
You know,
that
posture, I think when we
huge.
use the word posture, we need to kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
That most people picture, like, you know, a military man standing up, shoulders back, heels down on a horse, right? So it's sort of that thrusting the shoulders back, jamming the heels down, that people think that's a good riding posture or position. And
Position
posture,
is probably a position. That's a position. Yeah.
that's a position. I think that would be a more accurate description, is instead of holding a riding position, posture to me is fluid. It's an adaptation in order to always find the best possible coordination of the body. And that's what I know you do with people. So no matter the size, the shape, the weight, the height, whatever, or any genetic anomalies people show up with, you're helping people organize their coordination
Right.
in order to find, like you said, ease of use. And so the optimal posture is dependent on what you're
Depending upon
doing.
the act, the stimulus, I call it a stimulus because everything in our world is a stimulus. Walking to open a door, how am I going to do that? You know, something. I was working with a client yesterday that was very one-sided, which I guess horses could be that way.
Always pretty
And
very
just,
common.
yeah, and just having her do something as simple as, well, when you go to open a door, use your other hand. You know, just something that
Yeah.
simple to integrate, some
The other side of
balance.
your body.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just simple little things we don't think about that re we repeat. It's the repetitive movements, and I'm sure for horses too, it's the repetitive movements done poorly that get us in trouble.
Yeah. No, that's why it's not uncommon. You could walk into any barn and find at least one, if not more, horses that can pick up the left lead but not the right lead, or vice versa. Or they do beautiful, perfect circles to the left but not the right. Right? Or the saddle's always slipping to one side, like we've talked
Oh
about
yeah, we've talked
before.
about that.
Or between the horse and rider, there's a boatload of constant tension on the right rein, and the left rein is always loose, or vice versa. All of those are sort of indicating a one-sidedness, maybe in the horse, maybe in the rider, or maybe it's symbiotic between the horse and rider. And
Right.
so that left to right balance has a lot to do with finding an ideal posture, an optimal posture. So
Yeah.
let's get back to talking about the posture of extension and what that
Ugh.
means. So what I love what you call it with people. You call it startle.
It's startle. Or
Yeah.
what are some other language around it? Startle, sway back, is that a term people use? The arched low back, sticking the chest out, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And with horses, the posture of extension is actually functionally the same and for the
Right.
same reasons. So, like when we get startled by something, we arch our spine. So, it's sort of like the back muscles shorten and the muscles along the front lengthen. We sort
Right.
of arch our torso forward and toss our shorten our neck and kind of lift our chin. Right. And at the same time, typically rotate the pelvis backwards and all of our muscles excessively tighten. And that's essentially what happens with a horse in the same posture. It's just that the horse's spine is horizontal instead of vertical. So in the posture of extension, the top line muscles of the horse are going into a shortening contraction called eccentric contraction. the spine of the horse is pushing downward actively. So what we're going to see as a posture is the neck muscles of the horse are going to shorten. And there's a couple variations of short neck muscles. So I'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, good.
But typically, if you think of a horse getting spooked, the head goes up, the neck gets short, the back drops, and the hindquarters disengage. So the pelvis rotates backwards, placing the hind legs farther away from the middle of the torso. So that startle position in a horse is always going to happen when the horse goes into fear. Fight or flight doesn't matter, but as soon as the horse goes into startle or has a moment of spooking or anxiety, that posture goes hand in hand with the body in the fight flight nervous system or the sympathetic nervous system, right? And so anytime there's an internal fear trigger, doesn't matter what happened externally, that body, that nervous system got triggered for whatever reason. And that posture of the spine pushing down, the hindquarters disengaging, typically the head going up and the neck muscles shortening. Because we can't see the subtle version of the muscles shortening through the horse's back and hindquarter. But it's, we sort of see the end result more obviously and visually when the neck muscles shorten. And the spine is actually pushing downward even through the neck. And so you get this ginormous bulge at the base of the neck, right? And then the mane will sort of like shorten a little bit, the line of the mane. It might even curl backwards. So that's what the posture of extension sort of looks like visually, which is very similar to what you describe in a person.
Right.
Yeah, so as we sort of tilt our head back when we're startled, our neck muscles on the back of our neck are shortening, right? And our cervical spine, our neck spine, is actually kind of pushing forward. So if we tilt that sideways, that's exactly what the horse is doing.
Yep.
The skull is sort of pushing down and back, and the neck bones are pushing down to the bottom of the neck. And that's the most obvious thing we can see.
That's the obvious piece. Yeah, I agree. There's very subtleness of it too that, you know, we have shared personally, but maybe that's for another day. I don't know. But and what amazes me is that to remember that a thought or a feeling also goes with that posture. It's, you know, it's not just one thing happening. There's internal things that are happening. You know, it's like you've lost the learning frame of mind. If a kid in school is in startle all the time, it's very hard for them to learn because, you know, they're not, the parasympathetic sympathetic relationship is way off kilter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think whether it's equine or human, it's a natural posture, this posture of extension that we and our horses both adopt instantaneously for two specific reasons. One is fear-based. So the triggering of the sympathetic nervous system, the fight-flight nervous system, is going to physiologically put the body in that posture.
Yes.
The other important reason is when we lose stability, or if our horse loses stability doing what we're asking them to do, then again, that's the reflex of the body, is to go into that posture of extension, because all the muscles of the body are going to instantly and excessively shorten and tighten to sort of try to gain stability when the body loses or the stability is compromised. And stability is a primary function of any body. It's higher, it's a higher requirement of the body over balance or ease of movement or good use of the body. Because if we couldn't stay stable, we literally fall over. And the same is
Right.
true for the horse,
Right.
right? And it what kind of came to mind when I was thinking about stability is, you know, these videos I see of somebody walking out on their driveway and it's much icier than they thought it was. It's sort of that trying to stay upright as you're sliding across the ice on the driveway that surprised you. So you've got number one, there's a bit of startle, and number two, you're
Startle.
suddenly unstable, right?
Right.
So in human terms, it's like it can kind of picture that person who's trying to regain stability and not fall over, you know, arms flailing, legs moving, back tightening, head up, all of that, right?
Yes.
And the tighter we get, the harder it becomes to be stable,
Yep.
actually, right? Where if we look at a really good athlete, there's kind of a fluidness to the movement,
Right.
right?
It's kind of like you don't know what it is, but it looks really good, you know?
Yeah, like there's a
It's just,
huge difference if we
yeah.
picture somebody who's losing their balance on the icy driveway versus the person who wants to slide down the driveway on their feet for fun. Those are very different
Different
postures.
thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And the
Yeah.
same is true for horses. So I don't think people value the stability factor of a horse learning to carry a rider. Like, no
Oh, it's
matter how
huge.
big a young horse is, how big or how small or what breed they are, when horses first learn to carry a rider, they all stagger to kind of find their stability with this live weight and mass now on their back. And even a horse that is ridden a lot, maybe going into canter is creating so much instability that the horse has no other alternative than to canter in this posture of extension.
Right.
That's the only way they can canter is by adopting this posture in order to
Interesting.
find some enough stability that they don't fall over.
And that brings to mind it, the choices we make. We forget that we have choices. It's like, how are we asking that horse to canter, you know? Are
Exactly.
we creating the most optimal situation for it to be successful?
Exactly.
Or
Or are we
are we
even.
just one of those, you've got to do it at letter A, no
So
matter
for
what?
me, and I have to explain this to clients all the time, I go, I don't really care if I give a leg aid, right? I'm asking my horse to push, right? If I give a leg aid wanting to get from, say, walk to trot, right? As soon as my horse begins shortening the neck muscles, I very well may get my horse to trot. And at the same time, I'm developing all the wrong muscles for my horse to be athletic.
Bingo.
That's the importance of understanding posture.
Yeah.
So if I ask my horse to go from, say, walk to trot or trot to canter, and my horse it always has to shorten the neck, toss the head, push on the bit, overcurl the neck in order to get to trot or canter, then I don't necessarily gain any benefit from trotting or cantering. So we go round and round and round practicing, but every time my horse is back in the posture of extension, a couple of things are happening. The spine is pushing downward. The muscle use is actually working against the balance and the development of movement that I want. The hindquarters are disengaging, and I'm actually destabilizing the coordination of the spine and the skeleton. So if we're not recognizing that the horse has to go into the posture of extension in order to do what we ask, right? If that's the case, I might ask slower. I might have to be happy with less in a different posture where I know my horse's spine is no longer pushing down, and I know my horse is authentically pushing into the forward movement from the hindquarters and back, rather than in the posture of extension, they're getting the job done by pulling. The front end is pulling into the faster speed rather than the hindquarters pushing into the faster speed. That's the main difference.
Yeah, and it's setting yourself up for success is what, the organization of the organism that we have choices about how we go about that, and even simple things like the choice of how we get in and out of a chair for people.
Right.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it horribly. Yeah, we can do
And get
that
it done.
and get it done until
Well,
one
and if,
day something gives.
no, and I went through this with my 90-year-old dad, right? That over the course of our lifetime, how many times do we repeat that simple movement of sitting down, getting up out of a chair? Right. So my dad, like most people, the older he got, the more he used his arms to get out of the chair. Right. Rather than finding a better coordination to get out of the chair, he would push himself out of the chair with his arms. And when he started working with his personal trainer, who I really love, the first thing they worked on was getting out of a chair without using his arms to get out of the chair. That changed his core strength, changed his leg strength, changed his coordination entirely. And it took months because he had a lifetime of using his arms to sort of push himself out of the chair. But as he aged and became weaker, to keep using that same posture and strategy to get out of the chair was making him less and less stable, because that's basically the human version of going into extension in order to get out of the chair.
Yeah, it's like thrusting yourself out instead of, finding that coordination of your head, neck, back, and pelvis and using your joints.
Right. And if we turned that into kind of, if he were a horse, he was basically, even though he was using his arms for pushing, he was essentially pulling himself out of the chair with his forehand rather than pushing himself out of the chair with his hindquarters and back.
His legs, yep,
Yeah.
using his joints and his hips, knees, and ankles.
Exactly. And that's what I
Or
see.
another thing we don't think about using is the power of momentum. It's available to us if we just organize around it and use that power of just gravity falling forward to get us going forward.
Well, I think that's what optimal posture, whether it's the horse or the human, helps us discover is how to work with the forces of nature, gravity, momentum, speed, thrust, braking, all of that. How to work with that so that we actually exert ourselves less. That's why it feels like ease of motion, because the coordination is sort of working with all the other forces of nature that are at play all the time. But I want to pause here for just a second and describe sort of why I call it the posture of extension. Like, to me, it's a very accurate posture, but what do I mean by extension? Because most people, especially in the horse world, as soon as we
Oh,
say
gosh.
extension, people are thinking of long strides with the front legs.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So, like extended walk, extended trot,
Oh,
extended
okay.
canter.
Yeah. We better explain ourselves, right?
Yeah. So, extension and flexion are just generic terms, completely generic throughout the entire body, that are describing a joint, the bones of a joint coming closer together, which is flexion, or the bones of the joint moving farther apart, which is extension. So it's a very generic term that just describes joint movement, right? So if I bend my elbow, I'm flexing my elbow joint. And if I straighten my arm, I'm extending my elbow joint, right? Flexion, extension. And so the posture of extension, if I were to be more accurate, but it's kind of a mouthful, it would be the posture of longitudinal extension, referring to the spine, or spinal extension, right? Which just those couple extra words sort of make it a mouthful. So I just call it the posture of extension because I'm always working with how the spine is being used as sort of the root of all posture is dependent on the functions of the spine dictating the use of the legs, the use of the soft tissue, the use of every muscle in the body, right? That's
So,
being directed by the use of the spine. So
right.
in spinal extension, the veterinary point of reference for extension and flexion of the spine, we have an up, down, left, right, front, back, where we could have possible movement in the between the vertebra in the vertebral joints, where the spaces could get closer together or farther apart. So longitudinal or spinal extension means that the bones on the bottom side of the spine are coming farther apart, which means the top side of the same bones are closing the joint space and coming closer together. So another technical word that's used in science is dorsiflexion or dorsal flexion, which means the dorsal or top side of the horse's back or top side of the spine is coming closer together. Right? The normal point of reference, if we don't say dorsiflexion, if we say extension, which means absolutely the same thing as dorsiflexion, it's two
Oh, yeah.
words that are describing the same event. And the event is that on the bottom or the ventral side of the horse's spine, those vertebra are increasing space between each one. Right? So you can see it's the same thing because whatever happens on the bottom of the spine, the opposite movement has to happen on the
Right.
top. Right? So if the bones of our horse's spine get farther apart on the bottom side or the ventral side, then the same bones on the dorsal side or the top of the spine are have to come closer together and close that joint space. And so that's the cause of kissing spine. That term we call kissing spine, which means that extension, longitudinal extension, or the bottom of the spine vertebra coming apart, has now gone on for so long, and the joint space on the dorsal side has constantly closed and closed, and those bones have flexed more and more to the point that they intermittently touch bone on bone, which is a super painful issue. And it will get your ass bucked off.
So in layman terms, what's coming up for me is a dropped back. I mean, is that pretty
For the
much?
horse, yeah. Sway back, dropped back,
Drop back. What's some other term?
hollow,
But
upside
hollow
down.
back, I've heard upside down. I think what, and I this might be a bomb to drop, but I think all horses that I see in the dressage world are in extension.
Pretty high percentage, I would agree.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that. It's not what we're thinking. You know, we're thinking a dropped back is like a sway back, but there are real mild forms of extension that can be going on that it's very hard to see.
There's different degrees. So if a horse's spine has a pretty limited range of motion in the thoracolumbar spine, up and down. Like I think that paper we reviewed, I can't think of the title, but the author was Jean-Marie Dunois. He talked about in necropsies that the horse's spine's capacity of moving up and down is limited to a range of motion that's only 52 or 54 millimeters, like basically a couple inches. And it feels so much different when we ride. It feels like that fluctuation can happen in, 6 to 12 inches up and down. When a horse lifts their
Right, with
back, it
the
feels huge.
right.
But that's all the muscle use around the spine.
Right.
So what's interesting is when a horse drops the back, or oh my God, all of these terms are so confusing. Dorsiflexion or longitudinal extension, or basically, essentially, the spine is going in a more downward direction from the back towards the belly, right? That's extension. So every time I refer to extension, that's what I'm talking about, referring to the spine. So each time the horse does that, the reason we don't feel a sway back, we don't feel the
Right.
hole that they're creating with the spine, because instantly all the back muscles shorten and tighten
Right.
because the
For
spine is going
protection.
down,
Yeah.
right?
Makes total sense.
So over the years, what I realized is what we do feel is every time the spine pushes down, it affects two other functions of the spine. It starts to increase the rotational movement of the spine, which is a twisting motion. So you'll get hyper rotation, which means the horse's barrel and the saddle and our seat are sort of shifting left to right, kind of rapidly, right? So we might feel it like a rolling effect left to right. We might just be getting rattled left to right.
I
But
can't sit that trot,
I
that all
can't sit
that
that
language.
trot.
I can't
Yes.
sit that trot.
Or my horse feels like a noodle,
No, I got
right?
one of them.
Yeah. So instead of feeling as a rider, we don't really feel the downward direction of the spine
No,
because
we
all those
don't.
back muscles instantly compensate. But the tighter the back muscles become, the more the barrel starts to roll side to side or shift side to side. But we get an increase of side left right movement every time the back pushes down. And that to me is the primary indicator to know that the spine is headed down, whether it's a little or a lot.
Right.
Because remember, we have, 52 or 54 millimeters, we have degrees of extension or flexion. So the back doesn't just go down or go up, it can be sort of going down or
Right.
going up
Yeah.
by different degrees. So the posture of extension, to me, I call it that because the most important piece of that posture is the spine is headed downward, which is
Right.
going to have the effect of rotating the pelvis backwards, which disengages the hindquarter, right? It's going to have the effect of destabilizing the spine laterally, primarily in the function of rotation, but if it goes on long enough, it's going to also increase lateral bending through the spine. And that's where you get on and you feel like the horse has eight legs and a noodle, and they just wiggle all over the place. They wiggle out from under the aids all the time, right? Or they're super stiff, but they won't go forward or they won't slow down. Those are sort of
Right.
other indicators that we might be working our horse in the posture of extension. So you get a rolling effect of the barrel, maybe even excess lateral bending through the whole spine, kind of left and right alternately. It's not really stuck to one side or
One
the
side.
other. It's just sort of, and so that's what I mean, that that posture makes the skeleton really unstable because now you've disengaged the hindquarters. You've destabilized the spine laterally every time it pushes downward. And then all of the muscles of the top line, including the neck, start to have shortening contractions.
For safety. I mean, it's just a pure survival instinct.
Well, so you don't fall over. So the horse doesn't fall over,
And to
literally.
stabilize the spine, because the central nervous system and spinal cord are there. So, yeah.
So what we see, because it's really hard to detect, when the horse shortens the muscles of the back, we call it a bad ride. We say the horse has a bad trot, bad canter,
Right,
bad
rough.
walk,
They're
rough to
rough to
ride,
ride.
bumpy, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how we experience tight back muscles in the horse, in that shortening contraction. What we see are sort of the end result of the muscles of the top line shortening would be the neck muscle shortening.
It's more obvious.
Right. So if we think of a horse looking at the neighbors and spooking or startling or, that wide eye, I'm about to blow up look, then the neck muscles shorten with the head and neck going, with the head going up. Right. So that's kind of that's actually the most natural version of the posture of extension. Right, is the head going up and the neck really shortening and the base of the neck sort of bulging out because the spine is pushing down. But there's two other versions that I like to talk about in this posture of extension, two other ways that the horse can use the neck in a shortening contraction, but sort of look like we're getting collection or a lifted back. And that's the overcurling of the neck.
Drives me crazy.
Right?
Sorry.
So, ironically, it still means the same thing through the back and the hindquarter. The spine is still pushing down, the hindquarters are still disengaged. You've still destabilized the body left to right. But the neck, instead of like if you had a loose rein on your horse, then the head and neck would pop upward. And everybody hates seeing that,
And that's
right?
why they put martingales on and
That's, yeah,
tie downs and
yes. Draw reins, German neck
oh my gosh.
stretchers, bigger bits.
Bigger bits,
You need a
pull more, push
consistent
more.
rein contact,
Oy, 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 oy.
right? All
Sorry.
of that, when we frame in our horse's neck, the only other option. If the horse is still pushing the back down in spinal extension and disengaging the hindquarters, the neck muscles can't lengthen. So, as soon as we apply rein resistance or device resistance to stop that sort of upward force, right, of the head and neck, the horse will drop the pole, maybe even tip the nose back towards the chest. And overly shorten the neck in a forward and down direction. Right? And so that overcurling of the neck or the dropped pole, where the middle part of the neck is higher than the top of the neck, all of that indicates the horse is still shortening the neck muscles. Right? So if the horse isn't lengthening the neck muscles, then the spine is likely still pushing downward and the hindquarters are still disengaged. So, framing up the horse with the head and neck with a device or rein pressure or a different bit or some gadget, I go, good luck with that because all you're not changing what's happening through the back and hindquarters just by making yourself feel better with an overcurled neck instead of a high-headed horse, but you still have the
Yeah,
same problem.
I think it's this because just from the rider perspective, we're out of balance and not using our optimal posture. We tend to want to hold and grip with our hands and legs when we're not using our head, neck, back, and pelvis correctly.
Yeah, so an unstable rider in the saddle as weight and mass, right? So the more we quote unquote drive our horse forward from the seat or move with the horse, whenever our body weight and mass is unstable around the back of the horse, we can create instability in our horse's back and hindquarter to the point that they have to go into the posture of extension in order to function. So getting the rider stable can be part of it. But even let's say we have a theoretically stable rider who stays out of their horse's way and is well balanced, that horse can still go into the posture of extension, again, for only two reasons. There's fear, or the horse hasn't figured out a better coordination to do the work that we're asking. So they become unstable and they have to go into the posture of extension the second they start to feel unstable, or they would literally fall over. So if we're not actively helping our horse stabilize with a better, more ideal coordination of the spine, then that posture of extension gets the job done, even if the horse is massively unstable doing the job.
That's get the job done. I think that whole thing needs to be dumped.
And that's how we think of training, actually. We tend to think training means that we repeat our maneuver, or we repeat our training program, or we repeat our pattern until it gets easier for us and the horse. And somehow balance or better posture or the right coordination of the body just gets figured out along the way by somebody. Like, it's really left up to chance. And I go, but when I look around, it ain't happening by leaving it up to chance.
Or the thought, and we work with this in the Alexander community all the time, the thought of the way to get there is always the same method. And not being curious enough to ask different questions.
Or how could I change this strategy in some small way? And do I get a different response from my horse?
I mean, because we hear, oh, I'm frustrated. I keep asking him to pick up the right lead. And I'm doing, you know, whatever, outside rein, outside leg, whatever you're doing.
Right.
And he won't pick up that lead. And I'm like, try something different.
Yeah. Like, if it's the right lead, how's your right circle compared to your left circle?
Yeah,
maybe that's where you could begin to equalize the balance left to right.
Yeah.
Or as long as the horse is in this posture of extension, the more athletic we ask the horse to be, or the longer our horse goes through years working in this posture, over time, it leads to not only lameness issues, but a lot of health issues. That posture of fight and flight is meant to be temporary.
It's not useful in if you're being chased by a bear. It's real useful.
Yes.
Otherwise, no.
Yes. Or if you need to hightail it out of there, then yes.
Right.
But it's not meant to be a posture of athletic agility. It's not meant to be a posture of that's sustained, whether it's horse or human. It's not a sustainable posture over time. So, like, a typical sort of horse training perspective is, here's my young horse. I want walk, trot, canter in 30 days. And that's the definition of success, right? Mm. Without looking at, oh, okay, my horse can walk, trot, canter, but the head is up in the air, or I don't like seeing the head up in the air. That screams danger to me. So I'm going to use a tie down. I'm going to use a German neck stretcher. I'm going to use some device, or I'm going to get a better bit with more leverage and plant my hands until that horse puts his head down and forward. Right? And not noticing, are the neck muscles actually lengthening or shortening? Right? Is the back going down, or and the horse becoming more and more unstable with every ride? Or is the back starting to lift and the back and hindquarters becoming stable? Because that's what it takes to actually lengthen the neck muscles. The neck muscles will not lengthen on a horse until the back has a minimal amount of stability and
Right.
until the hindquarters have a minimal amount of engagement and stability. That's what creates a lengthening effect of the muscles through the whole top line that we actually see with our horse voluntarily lengthening the neck. Right?
That's the key, voluntarily, that they choose that.
Yeah, we're not cueing them to lengthen the neck because, again, not changing the back, right? Just changing the neck, right? So when I watch people cue their horse to go long and low in order to find balance, I go, ooh, we really missed the point, right? You
Well,
really missed the
and
point.
that's huge in the Alexander community of the doing, because that's getting it done. That's the doing of it, instead of looking at how are we getting there.
Yeah, and I don't think very many people in the horse business, it's new information to people when I share this, that I go, as soon as the back is minimally stabilized, and maybe even at the earliest degrees of upward direction, spinal flexion, right? So lifting the back again can happen in degrees.
Right.
So long and low. Maybe the back is no longer pushing down, but it's not really lifting up.
Right.
Very, not very much, right? Long and level, the spine is, the neck is long and the head position is roughly level to the back. That means, ideally, theoretically, if we didn't manipulate that head and neck position, then the head elevates as the spine increases more degrees of flexion and the hindquarters increase degrees of engagement. And even at the highest possible degree of spinal flexion, the highest balance achievable for upper level competition or big athleticism in the horse, the neck muscles remain long. Right. So even, and it's the difference that was sort of the third version I discovered looking closely at competitive horses where the neck wasn't, because for a while, roll cur and that whole fashion of overcurling the neck down and forward was theoretically in order to lift the back. And I go, it didn't work. We finally abandoned it after a decade. Poor horses. Right. And so now, the fashion is back to the pole being elevated, but another version of the neck shortening. If you look at some of these horses, their neck looks too short for their body.
It and it's a we've become so visual. It this is a good point, is that you can physically visual see it. It's very frustrating to me.
No, and then people go, oh, it's a confirmation point. My horse has a high neck set. And I go, no,
Wow.
that's a shortening effect of the neck
Right.
muscles, sort of almost squishing the neck back into the torso.
Yeah.
And so conformationally, quote unquote, is the horse looks to have a long back compared to the length of the neck,
Right.
or a flat croup, flat hindquarters.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so that's basically still the spine pushing down, the pelvis disengaging the hindquarters, and the neck muscles doing the best they can within the
To stabilize.
parameters. Right. So as humans, we're always setting parameters of how the horse can use the neck. And if we don't change the engagement and the lift of the spine, then the neck never lengthens. It just takes on different versions of being short. So it can be
Yes.
short and upright with the head, a horse that would drown in a rainstorm, right? Or it can be overcurled to the point of roll cur or putting their nose between their front legs. Or the pole can look like the highest point, but the neck has the effect of looking really too short for the body because all the muscles are shortening through the neck. And no matter which neck use, I go, it's still short neck muscles,
Right.
short, tight neck muscles.
And I
Right?
think we talked somewhere in a previous podcast about contractions and an eccentric contraction, and the muscles can actually stay in length and still work.
Well, that's the thing. I think I can't remember which research paper I read it in, and I have to go back and look for this, but it was like this massive light bulb went off in my head when in some research paper I was reading that spinal extension, the spine pushing downward, always happens with concentric contraction, which is a
That makes sense.
it's a shortening of the muscle fibers and contracting. The lifting of the spine, spinal flexion, longitudinal flexion, lifting the back, the upward direction of the spine on the horse is always coupled with eccentric contraction, which means the muscles are in their full length
Length.
while contracting. So I went ding, 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 ding. So the shortening of the neck is showing us that the back and the hindquarter top line muscles are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But we see it through the neck.
Yeah, it's more obvious,
It's
yeah.
just more obvious, right? And so when the neck isn't finding its full length, there's no way the spine is going up. There's no way.
Right.
So whether it's pushing down a little or a lot, or in a subtle way or an obvious way, it still has the same global effect on the body. The horse is pulling forward rather than pushing forward. You're strengthening muscles in a shortening contraction, and you're strengthening the wrong muscles, right?
I think that's real important that, and that's a very simplistic view, is you're strengthening the wrong muscle groups. The body becomes completely out of balance and will, it's going to do whatever it has to do to create stability, like you said. So even if it's not the proper muscles, they're
It
going
will
to be
find a
used,
way.
they're going to find a way.
Yes.
And then you know, when the last straw is put on the stack that breaks, it happens with people too.
Yes.
Oh, I was just pushing the grocery cart and my back went out.
Or I sneezed and my
I
back went out.
sneezed and my back went out.
Yeah.
Or now all of a sudden the horse needs hock injections, or, you know, all of this. There was a lot going on before that came to the surface.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and there's even theories with horses that develop kissing spine. As our x-ray machines get better and radiographs could be done on barn locations, we're finding more and more the prevalence of kissing spine in different horses. And one of the theories is that kissing spine is a muscular issue. It's not a
It's a
bone
muscular
issue.
use issue.
Yes. And that can be, if you imagine over
That makes
time,
sense.
whenever the horse is shortening the neck muscles, the back muscles are also shortening, pulling inward towards the center of the body. So that's going to keep bringing the top part of the vertebra closer and closer and closer together until finally the spine develops the pathology that we call kissing spine. But to reverse that and restore comfort and health, you have to reverse the muscle use.
Right.
You have to get that shortening contraction to release that tension and start finding length again.
Yeah, and I call it growing pains in people. It's, you know, it can actually cause discomfort, letting go of all that tension.
Oh, I know. It was like me trying to be in a yoga class. I was like, whoa, that is not comfortable.
Yeah, and it can bring up, and I'm sure it does in horses too, is it brings up a lot of feelings. It can be fear, anxiety, anger. A lot of things can come up when you start changing postural use.
Yes. Even when you're changing it in a positive direction.
Right.
Yeah. But I would say 99% of all the horses that come to me with behavioral problems are also working consistently in the posture of extension. It
Bingo.
becomes
I totally agree with
physiological.
you. Yeah.
So the horse might not have had a fear issue. Maybe the horse just had a stability issue doing the job we were asking, whatever that was. So we allow our horse to move in the posture of extension because we don't know better until we know better, right?
Right.
I did the same thing to my horses before I knew. And my poor little Arab probably spent most of her riding career upside down in the posture of extension because I didn't know better.
Right.
Now that I know better, I go, it's up to me to help my horse change posture in order to restore health or rebuild
Yes.
soundness or overcome behavioral issues,
Yes.
right? Because the longer the body has to actually function in the posture of extension, it works against the stability of the skeleton. It works against the stability of the body over time. So as horses can get to a point where they feel so unstable all the time that they don't even feel safe in their own skin. And
Yep.
that's always the case when I start working with a horse that has severe or extreme unsafe behavior. They're always chronically in that same posture of extension, in
Just
some
survival
version.
mode.
Yeah. And sometimes the neck is curled down and forward. Sometimes the neck just looks jammed into the torso. Sometimes the neck is obviously sort of up and the horse is high-headed. But it doesn't matter which one of those three variations of the neck I see in work, the neck muscles are still shortening. The spine is still pushing down, creating lateral instability as well as disengaging the hindquarters. So the reason horses get trained in that posture as frequently as we do is because we think we need to get the horse to do the maneuver or make the transition or be obedient in order to train the horse. And I go, that's only half of it. Are we gaining those things we want done in the posture of extension? We're going to pay the price eventually. We could also get those that same exact work done while our horse is lengthening the muscles of the top line, building more spinal flexion, lifting the back, engaging the hindquarters. So it's not a question of whether we do our walk, trot, canter, dressage pattern, jump. If we look at what's the posture our horse is in while doing it, that's the difference between long-term success or a matter of time before we deal with behavioral issues
Something
or lameness issues.
behavior or physical, same thing with people.
Or even ulcers in the horse or things like that.
Yeah, I'm working with a horse right now. That's where he went. He internalized it to the point of getting ulcers.
Yes. And once we kind of understand a little bit more about the mechanics and posture of horses, I'll find sometimes in one ride, I can improve the horse's bumpy, terrible trot in one ride by, like, let's say, for example, this just happened. I put my leg on. The horse increases the speed of the walk, but before trotting, starts to shorten the neck. What I choose to do in that case, if I want to improve the movement, is I take my legs off. I abandon ship on the trot. I get my horse's midline stable again. I wait for my horse to lengthen the neck again. Then I reapply the leg aid. And I had someone ask me, well, then how would your horse know to go to trot if you're not getting trot when you push with your legs? And I said, trot is just an evolution of pushing.
Yeah, it's
Canter
just
is
the
just an,
stimulation.
it, it's just more push, right? So if I'm getting the trot or the canter because my horse has to pull into that speed, I'm never building the capacity of push. And the very next complaint I get is my horse has no forward. And I go, that's because you've weakened all the pushing mechanism and muscles. because you constantly get the upward transition with your horse upside down.
Right.
So you're only building the pulling muscles. You're not building the pushing muscles. And so it's really for us to pay attention to, do I want the transition this way? Maybe the answer is yes on a temporary basis. But if it becomes the norm,
Exactly.
we better start changing our approach. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I think we should
Okay.
wrap it up. Anything you want to add on the posture of extension? I think I
Nope.
tried to cover the bases, but
Yeah, it's everywhere.
it is everywhere, and it's everywhere with
Sad.
people too.
Yep.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, you guys, for another episode of the Horse Geeks podcast. Please like, share, subscribe. Welcome to all the new subscribers on YouTube and the podcast platforms. We really appreciate it, and it keeps us going. So thanks for joining us, everyone. We look forward to
Bye,
seeing you on
everybody.
the next episode. Bye.